you all for being here. It's Friday, April 2013, 8:01 a.m. In attendance, myself, Senator Stevens, chairing, Vice Chair Senator Dunleavy, Senator President Huggins, Senator Gardner, and Senator Stedman. We have a quorum, and we're going to take up House Bill 180 relating to Military Youth Academy and HB 190 relating to credit for secondary school courses. So we have House Bill 180 before us. We have Representative Tammy Wilson here with us. Please come forward. Explain yourself and what you were doing last night.
Thank you, sir, for the record. My name is Representative Tammy Wilson, District 2. I'm not exactly sure what we were doing last night, but we got three more bills out. I believe they were Senate bills, too, sir.
Well, wonderful. We're pleased to have you with us. And excellent bill before us. Any comments you have? Help us move forward and make a decision on this.
Well, House Bill 180, to me, does exactly what we've been asking for education. Show us the numbers, show your accomplishments, and then tell us how we need to fund it to keep that accomplishment going. And that's what they've come before us. And that was the questions that was asked by the committees in the House, on the floor on the House, is why on earth would you stop taking funding that's already mandated seven times the BSA? And what came back was is that we can prove that we're worth the amount of money that we need to keep our program successful. And so, you know, gave us the comfort to realize that they have a wonderful program. It's the only program that I know that has this type where it's not just about taking those students in and getting those credits for them, but putting them back into their community with a mentor to make sure they keep straight, whether that's going into the military or finishing their high school. So I'm honored to be carrying it for the DMVA, and I know Senator Cusel is too, and I appreciate you hearing it this morning.
Thank you very much. Well, I think everyone's impressed with the work that is done in the academy. Could you tell us about follow-up, or I guess it would be the right word, of do you keep track of the students who graduate so we know their successes? And maybe you could tell us about that a little bit.
Mr. Chairman, McHugh Pierre, Deputy Commissioner, DMVA, and we do track the kids. So a cadet is not a success at the day of graduation. We actually monitor them a year out after that graduation date, and that's part of the mentorship role. They are required to check in a minimum of once a month, and after that 12 month period, then we determine if that student was a success through the program. And we have a 95-97% success rate. So after they graduate, they're either placed in 30 hours of work or more, they're going to college, 12 credits or more, or they're in the military. And that's how we measure success. And we're very proud of the kids. We have a robust Facebook page. We have reunion times, and we even have three graduates of the program who are working as team leaders now at the academy. So we feel that it's working, and we want to take it to the next level, and we believe this bill will allow us to do it.
Well, thank you. Well, I know every school I've gone to sends me letters regularly, usually asking for money, but it would be nice to make sure that, you know, just to hear anecdotally, if nothing else, on what people are doing after the 5 years, 10 years, and that sort of thing. Further questions or comments, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mine is a question of fashion. I see Mr. Deputy Commissioner has a bow tie on. My question is very simple. Did he buy that tie or did his wife buy that tie?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, I do purchase my own wardrobe and I do tie my own bow ties. And after I played hockey this morning at 6 a.m., I got out of the locker room looking like this.
Very impressive. Senator Gardner.
My question's a little more serious, but I'm just curious about the ratio of student to adult, not just teacher, because I know you have a lot of other adults that do wraparound services with these young people.
That's through the chair, Senator Gardner. Thank you very much for that, because it's not just the student to teacher ratio, because we do have a teacher element, and that's about 25, 26 to 1. Mm-hmm. But we have a total of 90 employees. So as kids are going through the day, whether it's at the dining facility and they're interacting with adults, or you're interacting with your team leader going about your different events during the day, so at the beginning of the class, we just started a class last week, and we had 202 cadets. And so with 90 adults in there, that's about a 1 to 2.2 ratio. Mm-hmm. It's very robust and hands-on, and it has to be, because we know these kids are dropouts, They haven't had much success, so we're trying to break bad habits, create good habits, and foster a success in their life, because a lot of these kids haven't had that success, so they don't know what it's like, and they don't know the natural tendencies to continue to build on success.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Dunleavy.
Just a comment. I just want to commend you for what you're doing. I hope over time that you come to us and you want to expand the program. It's probably no secret that I'm a fan of different educational models. You may have heard that, because I don't believe that all kids learn with one size, one fits all. If that were the case, how many students do you have in the program?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, we have 200 in right now. We roughly graduate 300 per year, two classes.
Right. So you're taking care of 200 children that might not otherwise benefit from our program. So, and for me, each and every single one of those children deserve the best opportunities for success, and I want to thank you for that.
That's a very good question. I appreciate the comment. Do you, McHugh, see expansion as a possibility in the future?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, certainly. And that's what this bill is ultimately the crux of. We have to take the training wheels off and allow us to build a foundation that will allow the discussion to even happen. Because right now we get a budget amount from the previous October that has nothing to do with the kids we're serving in the next fiscal year. So it's not a situation that's very good for planning and for projecting how many kids we can serve. We know that there's roughly 3,500 to 4,000 dropouts from high school every year, and we serve, you know, almost 10% of those kids. We believe that with the right outreach and the right motivation, we could serve more kids. We have to talk about, of course, physical plant, how many beds we have, the dining facility space, those kind of things. But ultimately, if there's a need, we want to meet that need.
Thank you. Any further questions, Senator?
Mr. Chairman. Just to remind me, as I recall, one of the expansion plans was in the Fairbanks area. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. Through the chair, Senator Huggins, we did look at expanding at the end of the Murkowski administration in 2005-2006, and we looked at two locations, Galena and Fairbanks, and because this is a partnership with National Guard Bureau, with the National Youth Challenge Program, there are requirements to be on a military installation to have excess facilities. So unless the state wanted to put up significant money to build new facilities in Fairbanks, we would have a tough time. However, with the question about Eielson Air Force Base, there might be space there in the future and allow us to expand if the need arises.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please.
One other quick question. I assume that your population, student population, is a majority male, but can you tell me just the male-female ratio?
Certainly. Through the chair, Senator Gardner, it's roughly 70-30 male to female. And we did change that just 2 years ago. We used to have the female platoon, as we call it, in a certain barracks. It only limited the size, and we could have 70 women, and that was it. And our new director, Tom Burton, who heard from a couple committees ago, he said, this is ridiculous. If we have 100 women that want to join up, put them in a bigger barracks. We don't need to always keep the women in this one barrack just because. And so we did, and we've had 90 women show up before for the start of a class. So we've been able to serve more females, and it's been a very positive evolving situation there at the Youth Academy.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, if I might, years ago when I used to be a guardian ad litem, an advocate for young people, actually people and children in state custody, I had several cases where the parent of the children on my caseload went into the Youth Academy, and without exception, it was very successful.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you, Senator Gardner. Further questions? Well, thank you very much. We've heard from the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Any questions of Department of Education? I think we've covered most of those.
We're supportive.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. For there's no further discussion, we'll have a public hearing. Make sure we have an opportunity for anybody to speak. Is there anyone who wants to speak to this issue at this time? If not, close the public hearing and come back to the committee. Any further comments from the committee? Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you. It's with great pleasure I move to pass HB 180 28-LS0684, Version A, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Thank you. Is there an objection to that? We'll take a brief at ease then. Education Committee, come back to order, please. We have before us House Bill 190, Credit for Secondary School Courses, and Representative Paul Seaton. Representative Seaton, pleased to have you with us. If you'd come forward and present the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Committee. Appreciate you hearing this bill this morning. The need for this legislation became obvious when the Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program testified before the House Education Committee, and it was that they had had students that took calculus in college, which is equivalent to a full year, but then when they went back to high school, they only got one semester credit because they hadn't had enough seat time for the district's policy. So then those kids had to sit through a semester of calculus, which they'd already mastered, which they'd already passed at the level of the college, which was the same as the ending course for the high school. So without some kind of policy in place, we have some situations where students are left in courses where they already know the material and, you know, idle hands or boredom, those kind of things don't lead to good educational outcomes. So House Bill 190 allows students who demonstrate mastery of course content to challenge and test out of high school courses and receive academic credit. It leaves the criteria for demonstrating mastery to the individual districts, who are the same people that have control of designing their individual courses. It requires that they have an assessment tool for challenging those courses, but it does not establish a statewide assessment tool. One of the things that is most evident is that it can simply be assigned that assessment to the teachers that are teaching that subject, and they can use their final exam or a final exam from a previous year to assess the student's mastery of the subject. The credits in this bill would apply for requirements of the Alaska Performance Scholarship, but would not necessarily factor into GPA because there's no requirement that a challenged course receives a grade point. They just have to demonstrate mastery to go on to work that is at the level they should be performing. And the other thing, there was a question about, well, if they're challenging a course that had prerequisites, does it give them credit for the prerequisites? And no, this doesn't attempt to do that at all. Currently, there's just no requirement that school districts provide an opportunity for students to challenge out of courses where they can demonstrate that they already know the material. Some districts have tech prep plans where they are coordinated, but they're generally aligned along vocational goals, and those vocational courses are the same thing. A number of districts do have this, such as Kenai, Anchorage, Mat-Su, all have those North Star as well. And some districts have no policy, and others have no ability within their policy to allow someone to challenge out of a course. So this gives a unified statewide approach to making sure that we keep students engaged by learning challenging materials that is appropriate for their knowledge of level without imposing something from the state on the district, just telling the districts that they need to provide a mechanism for students to demonstrate mastery and then receive credit for the course, and then they would be on to an appropriate course for their knowledge level. And you have in your packet the credit by choice handout from Anchorage School, and that is what they've done that would fully satisfy everything this is. What it does is allows students to do that. They exempt some classes, like you can't challenge PE. I've used the under their policies, which is fine. We're not saying that every course has to be done. In fact, one of the we contacted all the superintendents in the state, and the only question came back is, would we have to develop an assessment for every class at one time, and how long? And so the House Education Committee, even though the Department of Education said that they didn't interpret the bill that way, we clarified that on page one of the bill on line 10. It's within a reasonable time, and then on 11, courses provided by the district that are likely to be or have been the subject of challenge requested under this section. So simply put, when students are ready to have mastery of a subject, they could challenge. And it's just really hard for us as legislators to say that we want students sitting in classes where they've already mastered the material. And so that's the entire portion of the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, sir, this evening. So not the intention here to reduce standards at all or to make it easier. It's just another way, another access. A student has done the work to allow them to get the credit for it.
Mr. Chairman, absolutely. This does what we've been trying to do for quite a while, and that's get away from measuring seat time as success, but allow students. I mean, it's not saying that every district can't use the Carnegie unit and seat time, but that they have to provide an alternative for those students that have demonstrated or can demonstrate mastery of the subject. And again, mastery of the subject will be left up to the district. So it's not a statewide test, although they could use SBAs and other things to as part of their assessment.
So that would be a question that I'd have of you concerning real small districts who have small staff, small number of administrators, small administrators, maybe short administrators, that might be a thought. But what do they do? I mean, is there some access they may have to what larger districts like Anchorage is doing that would make it not so time-consuming for them to provide that mastery program?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, in fact, this is for courses that they teach, and so there must be a teacher. The teacher must know what mastery is for that district, and so this is not going out of the way that says that they have to pull in any other resources. It's not that they couldn't pull in other resources, but this is for classes that they teach in their schools, and they just have to provide a way for students that already know that material to get credit for that and move on to challenging material. And whatever sequence that is, it doesn't reduce the number of hours that specifically in the Anchorage district that you have to be enrolled to be a full-time student. So those are all district policies that they can well draw up themselves.
Thank you. Questions? Mr. Dunleavy.
It's kind of a comment sort of question.
I want to commend you. And, this is our last meeting of the year, and we're ending it on two fantastic notes, because we're looking at different ways to help kids. I may have mentioned this to your representative seat, there's a thing called CLEP, a lot of us are familiar with, College Level Examination Placement, I believe it is, from College Bound Corporation. It's accepted by 200 colleges nationwide. Several years ago, the Mat-Su had the same discussion you're having right now, because we would have a number of Russian-speaking students and Spanish-speaking students. And at the time, we required them to sit in the classroom to learn Spanish and Russian, which really made no sense. So they were able to CLEP out. I mean, CLEP's about $86 a test. So for those districts all over the state, this college-bound corporation has for some time, and this is about a 30, 40-year-old type of exam through college-bound, but the bottom line is those exams exist. They're nationally normed, and the criteria is based against national standards. I want to commend you for what you're doing. I think whenever there's an opportunity to move more and more to a performance-based system, which this is, we're looking at outcomes. I think it frees up seat time. I think for students that need to be sitting and working with a teacher, it frees up seat time, frees up resources. You may go down, Representative Seaton, as the father of modern education in Alaska. So I don't want to put that heavy burden on your shoulder at the end of the year here, but this is a performance-based tool. Anyway,
thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mean, I support the concept and what you're doing, and it's a good idea. But, I guess my thought process is, we have, quote, local control. And we have a principal, we have the school board at the local level, we have the state, then we have the department. And the fact that we're doing legislation to cause this to happen sort of confuses me, because the people at all those echelons either have a baccalaureate degree, a master's degree, or PhD. And I guess I'm accustomed to things running off initiative, right? So if there's a wheel of justice that needs to make this work, you cited some places where it's happening, why it just doesn't happen based off initiative of people and organizations. Hence, you mature local control. Why should we be telling the school district or the state how to do this? Why wouldn't they come and say, look what we're doing? And I guess it's a little bit of frustration, because this appears to be done in the void of initiative. So, but I appreciate your having an initiative to bring it forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. For the comment, Senator Gardner.
Thank you. A couple things. Number one, just responding to Senator Huggins, I think there's this concept of adverse incentives, where, what is the incentive that a school district has compared to what is the incentive that a student might have? It's not always exactly the same. But back to speaking of Hospital 90, I think there are probably a lot of students who, as ninth graders, could pass a 12th grade composition course. Does that mean there isn't tremendous value in those students taking the course they could pass versus excelling? There's still a lot to learn, even though you could reach the baseline to pass it. In some classes, you either have the material or you don't. So I have mixed feelings about this. And if I, as a parent, if my kids wanted to just CLEP, is it?
CLEP off.
CLEP out of a bunch of high school classes, I guess I'm not certain that that would be in the child's best interest. Obviously, the child's bilingual, taking the second language would be silly, but I would still want them to take a lot of the classes that they could meet standards for, because I want them to excel and do better than meet standards. So as a parent, I'd have some qualms about letting that happen.
Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Representative Gardner, or Senator Gardner, through the chair. I understand where you're coming from, and the thing is that there's a normal course of math in school, Algebra 1, Algebra 2, geometry, trig, or however that goes. The question is, if someone comes in and the teacher knows from the previous school or from the getting to know the student, that the student really has a mastery of Algebra 1. Should they stay in Algebra 1, or should they have a mechanism to test out of that so that they can get calculus in high school? Maybe that calculus is going to be given by distance education if in a rural school they don't offer it. But it doesn't mean that students won't remain engaged. And it doesn't mean that they can be a full-time student, just like the Anchorage policy is. You have to have so many courses, and testing out of a course does not remove you. It also allows the opportunities for taking additional courses either by with college, so you have dual credit. So this is to accelerate people and keep kids engaged, keep them learning at their level, instead of saying, okay, everybody's got to sit through the average level. Because most of the kids that drop out of high school have actually passed the high school qualifying exam. So it's not that they're dropouts because they don't know material. Most of them are bored and they're being taught things that just aren't interesting to them because they already have a good understanding. Mm-hmm. But if they have to demonstrate mastery, that's different than being able to pass-fail a test. You know, that'll be the districts will decide, because you wouldn't want somebody coming into Algebra 1 and saying, oh, you could get a C or a D and then go to the next course. They'd have to demonstrate mastery of that. So this is also going to give impetus for students over the summer to make sure that they bone up on those things they want to challenge. It doesn't establish that students anytime during the year can do this. The school policies might be that you have to challenge something in the first 2 weeks. We're not trying to impose those details that should be locally decided. We're just saying that every district needs a policy that allows students to test out of a course and get on to education that's appropriate to them. So I don't see it as something that most people would want to say, well, we want you sitting in a course where you already have mastered the material. Let's get on to a course where you haven't mastered the material.
Thank you. So, if I might, so do I understand a district could say you have to really master the material, not just get what would be a C?
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, absolutely. And it's in here. It's mastery of the material, and that mastery is, we're not even saying what level that is. Because each district is going to have to decide that on their own. We're not trying to impose this mandate other than to provide an access.
Thank you.
So as I understand it, what this bill does is to encourage districts to solve this issue, not mandate it. And I appreciate Senator Hargett's comments that it should be coming in either direction, certainly, yeah. But still is a way to get this done. The CLEP issue, Senator, maybe... it seems to me like that might be a solution for some districts. The student can pay that, or the district, if they chose to, could pay that. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just a comment. Again, I commend you on this bill, on this concept, this approach, because I do think it will have us. We are caught in a netherland right now in the state of Alaska between seat time and performance. We just are, and we're trying to. I think we're moving towards performance, and that's what folks are trying to do. But I mean, I could sit here all day long and cite countless examples of students who dropped out, not because they didn't know what was going on, just because there were certain issues that the school they were in did not work, and went on later on to take college placement exams, did well, got degrees, masters, are working in various professions. I just see it as another, I think, terrific tool in the toolbox, because not everybody learns the same at the same rate in the same way. It just doesn't work that way. And I think... if the state is, and I don't have the answer to this, but if the state is moving into a world of diminishing resources, why wouldn't you want to free up a seat for a student that can perform at a level, free that seat up so that a student that needs that one-on-one with a teacher can get that one-on-one with a teacher? And those that don't need the one-on-one with the teacher, why not let them, as I say, CLEP out and take another course where they may have no experience and want to learn something new? So, again, I think it's a great idea.
Further questions? Other comments? Representative Seaton, appreciate your presenting this. We'll hear from the department, and also we have some people that want to testify as well. But if you have no further comments, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Good job.
So going to the department, any comments you have, Mr. Morris?
For the record, Les Morris, Deputy Commissioner for the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. I'm really here if there's any questions of you to the department. We see this primarily as a district responsibility. We like some of the work that was done to it to make sure that we're not doing this for courses where there's never a need. It's where they have heard there's a need and students need to move forward, that's where the districts would build the courses in. I would hope, and I think districts will share materials if they're using the same types of materials our districts typically share, so that could help with the burdens that you mentioned that some districts with smaller capacity might have. So I don't think we have any concerns with this and think it does help address issues, particularly when a student wants to test out of a lower level course to get into more rigorous courses. I think for that it makes a lot of sense.
Well, thank you, Ms. Moore. So rather than requiring the department to do some overreaching program here, you think it's best, particularly for smaller districts, to maybe work with the larger districts to find a way to do this?
Yeah, and I think what the absolutely, Chair Stevens, and I think the role the department could play, if it's needed, is just help facilitate that communication where people are using similar materials. They may want to tie this to the commercial products that they're using to deliver their curriculum. Districts that are using similar things, we could facilitate with our curriculum folks, at least in some of the high-need areas, math and language arts, where we have staff that do support work there.
Thank you. Mr. Morris, Senator Hawkins.
Yeah, last question. I'm going to comment before you answer, if I could. The CLEP, which I'd forgotten the term until Senator Dunleavy mentioned it, how widespread is that practice in Alaska? But I'll just make a comment before you answer. You know, it reminded me when a number of places when I was a commander in the Army, where you literally loaded up busloads of soldiers and carried them to education centers to take the CLEP exams and other sort of professional development courses, and it was very, very popular, and I assume effective, because the system supported it, and it allowed people to progress through the system without the dead time in the seats in a number of cases. But back to my question, in the state of Alaska, how widely practiced is it?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, unfortunately, I'm not able to comment on how widespread it is, other than anecdotally, I've heard that people use it and primarily often used for the world language component. I don't know how widely used it is, though, by the districts. I think the larger districts probably take access and use it more than some of our smaller ones.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Sorry.
Thank you, Senator. Further questions? Thank you very much, Wes. Good to see you this morning. We will go on to public comments. We have Dr. Herb Schroeder with us. Dr. Schroeder, can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you good. You got me?
Good to have you with us. Thanks for being here. We appreciate your presentations on ANCEPT, and that's entered the discussion very often here this session. Any comments you may have on this bill, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I do. My thanks to the Senate Education Committee for working on this, and also thank you to everyone for the recent legislative citation honoring ANCEPT. We appreciate that. So with ANCEPT components, we ANCEPT components allow students from anywhere in the state to complete the courses necessary to earn the Alaska Performance Scholarship. And we do this by bringing students into Anchorage where they complete university classes that are taught by university faculty in the ANCEPT Acceleration Academy. The problem for many students is that when they successfully complete a university course, they don't always receive equivalent high school credit. For example, we had a student who came through Acceleration Academy, and he's a high school student, finished Calculus 1, Calculus 2, Calculus 3, Differential Equations, and Partial Differential Equations, and was told by his high school that he didn't have enough credits to graduate from high school. And this is because they take those university classes back to the district, and for like the example that Representative Seaton had was you could successfully complete Calculus 1 at the university and earn half a credit back in the district. Now this is a big demotivator for students. And House Bill 190 provides a mechanism for students to earn the correct high school credits for completing a university course. We all want our students to excel, and we're raising the bar. And in order to improve our academic outcomes, we have to encourage more students to take college classes while still in high school. And the big benefit of this is that over time, many students will be able to graduate from high school early. And early graduation means we're going to have smaller class sizes in high school and reduce teaching loads for our teachers. House Bill 190 provides a mechanism for us to help raise that bar and reward students instead of demotivating them. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Dr. Schroeder. I appreciate your comments and I appreciate the success of your program. I guess what you're sort of saying is there's a natural antipathy between high school educators and college classes. Is that something, I mean, that we can't force the districts to do this, but do you think that's just an issue we have to deal with some way?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't understand, you know, that it appears to be a seat time issue, but for anybody to think that you could complete a four-credit course in calculus at the university taught by a PhD who's an expert at the top of his field, his or her field, and have it not be equivalent to a university course, I don't understand the logic.
Right. I appreciate your comments. Questions, though, Dr. Schroeder?
Just a quick comment. I'm still working through that logic part myself, Doctor.
Thank you. Further questions? Thank you very much, Dr. Schroeder. Again, thanks for all you do. We certainly appreciate hearing the successes of your program. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Any other public comments? Yes, good to see you this morning.
Thank you, and good morning. For the record, I'm Bruce Johnson, the Executive Director of the Alaska Council of School Administrators. I just wanted to assure members of the committee that our association is very supportive of continuous progress and moving kids forward on a level that's appropriate for them. I can't speak to perhaps everything that's gone on in the past, but I can speak to one example just to give you a sense. Since the mid-late 90s, Lower Kuskokwim, our largest REAA school district in the state, has had a continuous improvement model where kids could take an assessment, formative assessment delivered at the district level, and that determined their placement. And then from that point forward, they could also challenge if they felt they material wasn't sufficiently challenged. So we've been doing this for a long time. Standards have pushed us in this direction, which has been a very good thing for us. Those standards are going to become much more rigorous here, as we all know, as we move forward with the implementation of Common Core and the exams that will come along with them in a few years. So we've got a full plate. So I don't think that you're going to see any resistance from school districts in the implementation of this. Many are already doing it in a quiet sort of way, and you can think of a math teacher in a rural school, single math teacher, teaches math two periods a day. They're teaching multiple subclasses, levels of mathematics in each of those. So you think of how easy it is for them to be sure that the child is placed properly. So those things are going on. I think this will push us. It'll require the policy that we think about this, but it still is local controlled, and individual teachers, their administration, and the family can then determine what's in the best interest, and of course the student would be involved in that decision. So we're pleased that this is coming forward, and you can we'll implement it with fidelity if it passes. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Johnson. Senator Dunleavy.
Just a question for clarity. Are we adopting Common Core standards in the state of Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, my sense for all practical purposes, yes. That's how our association views it. The department obviously talks often about some minor tweaks, but for the most part, I just heard the division director for teaching and learning support talk to a group yesterday and said basically for all practical purposes we have the Common Core, and we're going to adopt assessments, smarter balance, that in fact test the Common Core. And so we're going to be sure our young people are ready for that.
I'm sorry. The reason I asked that is I've had constituents ask me if we've adopted the Common Core, and I said I don't believe we have. But anyway, thank you.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Johnson, if you look at the echelons where the same policy, I'll call it policy, this same action could take place, it would be binding. Could you just name a couple of them?
So I'm
without passing a law, how else could this be done? It would be statewide.
Yeah. So through the chair, Senator Huggins, I suspect it could be done through regulation at the department level. Probably more importantly, and perhaps a better approach, is that each district would assume this responsibility at the local level and craft a policy that they feel best meets the needs of their young people, but encompasses, you know, the whole issue of dual credit, of being sure that every child is taught at the level in which they're that's necessary for them to progress through whatever subject matter they're moving. So,
Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. So thank you very much, Dr. John. So, your comments about lower custodial would lead me to believe that this bill would not be a burden on districts. Some are doing it now. Those that aren't could do it. It would not be an expensive or a difficult thing for these districts to do this if we pass this bill.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think that's correct. We're good at sharing, and so that will happen from district to district. The fact that you only have to develop the assessment as the need arises kind of took away the fear starting next fall or the follow afterwards. Do we have to have a shelf full of exams that we pull off? And that's not the intent of this, and that's been clarified. So we can get the job done.
Thank you very much, Senator Dunleavy.
Just a quick comment. If districts such as Mat-Su, if other districts utilized the CLEP concept, again, it's about an $86 test that already exists. And the great thing about that is you can use it for credit in high school, and it's accepted by 200 colleges nationwide.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Johnson. Appreciate it. If there are any further comments on this matter, yes, Senator Dunleavy.
Just a quick question. Do we know where NEA stands on this issue?
I think we have a thumbs up.
Was that a thumbs up? That's incredible. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we will keep this public comment open, and unfortunately, as we reach the end, just too much happening, and but this is our last meeting. We'll set the bill aside for further review starting in January.
When is it put there?